web services.
Hi everyone, this is Hot of the Cloud by Cloudonaut. We are your hosts, Andreas and
Michael Wittig.
So this is the last episode, Hot of the Cloud in 2022. So we will do a year in review, talk about some AWS announcements from the past week. So that's what we have up for today. For all of you who are joining the live stream, welcome. Feel free to ask any questions in the chat if you have any. We are happy to have you listening to this live or later in the podcast. So, Michael, every year at the end of the year, I go through the numbers of Cloudonaut. So just to write, to basically to see what happened in the past year. And I did so as well this morning. Here's a short summary. So we published 33 blog posts on cloudonaut.io, 21 podcast episodes for the blog, and 30 videos and streams on YouTube. So yeah, in total, this is 80 content pieces, which is, I think, quite a lot. Probably one of our most productive years when it comes to content.
Yeah, interesting. And keep in mind that I was not working the first 6 months of the year. So I think given that, that's quite a high number.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, you have been on parental leave the first six months. Yeah, I did completely forget about that. Yeah, that's true. Ah, okay, that might also be a reason why, looking back at the year and what happened besides our content, I was a little concerned about the things we achieved, but I think taking that in consideration, that's right, that makes sense. I also checked our analytics tools. So we do very few analytics, but just to give you an impression, so we had around 500,000 page views on the blog, 35,000 podcast downloads, 100,000 video views. So those are just the numbers. I don't actually know what to do with those numbers, but what they show me and what they do with me is they motivate me a little bit, because I see that our content is consumed. So the text, the audio, and the video, and I think that is always motivating to look at these numbers. And of course, thanks to all of you who are reading, listening, and watching to our content. Thanks a lot for your attention and the time you put into that. Which brings me to an important thing in the year in review, which is to say thank you. So thanks a lot for supporting our work at Cloudonaut. So thanks especially to our Cloudonaut supporters, buying our t-shirts or supporting us with donations. Also thanks a lot to our partners, TechRacer and Demicon this year. And of course, thanks for sharing our content, recommending Cloudonaut to your colleagues and friends. Thanks for all your support.
All right, Andreas. So maybe I can give a quick overview of what we kind of released this year. Mm-hmm. So let's get started. The first big project was the third edition of our book AWS in Action, and it's not kind of completely done, but it's mostly done from our side, basically. So what we did is we updated all the chapters, and we also added new chapters. We added a chapter on containers, and this now includes like different options to deploy containers. So the most straightforward one is AppRunner, which is really, and Andreas, you mentioned this a couple of times this year in the show. This is a really promising services that has really, I mean, they kind of ship features all year, basically. Mm-hmm. So that's very cool. Then, of course, we have ECS and Fargate. So those are the more sophisticated options. Still, you have to choose, or you have options in the book. It's a single chapter and you still have two options. So that's pretty cool, I think. So kind of the low effort option and the more enhanced option. And the other chapter is actually a rewrite, Andreas, right? So this is about how to automate your deployments. And before, this was about OpsWorks, Elastic Beanstalk. And we kind of decided to remove all of that stuff. And we replaced it with CodeDeploy and CloudFormation and Packer. So now this is more, I think you can summarize it into two different options that you have. It's like the changing things while they are running versus deploying a new AMI, kind of the immutable versus mutable approach. So this is now in the chapter. And all the chapters are, but what happens at the moment is, and this will be finished before Christmas, so this is basically the last week. So what happens at the moment is that someone is copy editing the text. So they basically fix all the errors we made when writing English. And they send us their changes, and we kind of go through them and make sure that they made no mistakes in kind of, sometimes it's not so clear for, I mean, they are not in the subject as deep as we are. So we have to make sure that nothing kind of is changed that they shouldn't be changed, and then we hand it over back to the publisher. And at Christmas, basically, that's the deadline. It goes then into production, then it is layouted and all kinds of things. So from our part, it is kind of done, but it's not yet fully done. So you cannot buy the book. So what you can buy at the moment is the early access edition. This is the ebook, and it is more or less now production, or I mean, that's what the final product will look like. So you can get the ebook already, and you will get updates once they change things. There's no kind of way to wait. Actually, it's always a good idea, I think, in technical books to get them as soon as possible because they kind of age.
Yeah.
And so that's AWS in action, Andreas. So I think I talked now enough about AWS in action.
Yeah, this is,
and it's actually, the cool thing is that this is still... Yeah, sorry, Andreas.
No, continue.
Yeah, it is really... Like, this book is really crazy. For a technical book, it is still on the bestseller list of our publisher. So the topic is still relevant. I mean, people are still interested in AWS, and you probably know that if you watch this video later or now. And so that's really cool. So this was really completely unexpected when we started the project, I think in 2015, Andreas, right? So this is really a crazy adventure for us.
Mm. Yeah, as always, so doing another edition of the book is really always a lot of work. So we've done that two times now, the second and the third edition. And yeah, it has been taking us quite some time because things like all examples, most examples have been broken because the open source stuff that we're using there is outdated and stuff. So yeah, there's a lot of work going into those details. Yeah, speaking of open source projects, Michael, so I think I wanted to mention two of our open source projects that we are maintaining. There are a few more, but I think two of them are most important for this year. So one is the AWS CF templates, so CloudFormation templates that we maintain. And you are putting much effort into that to keeping everything up to date. So a few examples: whenever there is a new Amazon Linux AMI released, it takes not more than a few days until Michael is updating the templates that are using those AMIs. So those are really...
So guess what I did in the morning, Andreas?
Yes, you released another version.
That's just a new release, yeah.
Yeah. So. That's why I'm mentioning it. So we are really still maintaining those templates heavily. We make sure that those templates still are up to date, and we have automated tests running in multiple regions and stuff. Yeah, so still relevant. And then I think we kicked off one open source project this year, which is our infrastructure as code for Mastodon on AWS. So far the feedback has been quite positive on that. We are using it ourselves to run our own Mastodon server. And so this was what we added to the list this year. Let's see how this continues. So far this was quite... first it was a lot of fun because the Mastodon setup is quite complex. And I also think it's relevant that others can spin up their instances very easily on AWS.
Yeah, and What also is interesting, Andreas, is that we actually plan to do something else, right? So we had plans for launching a new open source project, and then this kind of Twitter thing happened, and then you kind of decided that this is a good time to kind of try it, and so now we have this project, which is cool.
The question is,
I think it's even cooler than the other one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, let's see. Maybe we can do the other thing next year. At the beginning of the year, we released HyperEnv for Jenkins. So basically, our idea is that we wanted to provide a production-ready Jenkins infrastructure that you can spin up in your own AWS account. So basically, kind of a mixture between a managed Jenkins server and just launching an AMI in your account. So HyperEnv for Jenkins is an AMI that we provide, but also a CloudFormation template that spins up everything you need from authentication to networking to backups, really everything you need, encryption and stuff. So this is what we launched at the beginning of the year in the AWS Marketplace. So if you're interested in Jenkins on AWS, check that out. Do you want to continue with our other popular product in the Marketplace?
Two more things, Andreas. So we have another product that's around for quite some time now. It's now called Bucket AV. So this is antivirus for Amazon S3. And what we released this year, this is just a short summary of new features. We also did a lot of enhancements, of course, and bug fixes. But we now integrate with the S3 Event Bridge integration. So if you remember before that, an S3 has this event notification system. So you can hook up an SQS queue, a Lambda function, or things like that. But the problem is that there's only one, so you can only hook up one Lambda function, for example, or one SQS queue. So you cannot hook up as much as you wish. And with the new Event Bridge integration, Amazon S3 basically publishes the events to Event Bridge, and then from there you can have as many subscribers as you wish. And this makes the lives of our customers easier that already have like Event Bridge, or not Event Bridge, but event consumers. So basically with enabling this feature on the S3 bucket, so it's not enabled by default on Amazon S3, so you have to enable that they publish to Event Bridge. And you can then basically hook up Bucket AV without changing the existing part. So that's really cool. We also have a custom scan message format now and that's, I think, the most important part with a trace ID. But this is important for customers who submit our files to us and then wait for, or basically correlate the response with their request. Because the system is asynchronously, so it works. So you put the scan job into SQS and you get the result back on SNS. And so that's why the trace ID is important to kind of know, okay, this is the response for this request, basically. And we also support all the new regions that were released. And actually, lots of regions were released this year, right? So we have three new regions that we support. So that's it on Bucket AV. So it's basically, as you can see, it's a kind of a more or less stable product, right? We don't add much functionality here. It's more or less working. And we also try to avoid adding features that no one really needs to kind of make it more complicated as it should be. So it's an antivirus for S3, that's it. And we don't want to turn it into something more sophisticated or more, I would also say more complicated. Yeah. And on the other hand, we have Marbot. So this is our monitoring chatbot that works with Slack and Microsoft Teams. And we have invested quite some time here this year. So we have summaries now, which is basically a better way to show you in the notification that you get on your mobile phone, works for Slack and Teams, what actually happened, like with a very catchy sentence and with emojis. So this is helping you to kind of understand what happened without opening the alert, actually. Then you can now mute alarms and notifications. So if you cannot change the CloudWatch alarm, or if you don't want to change the CloudWatch alarm, for example, you can still send it to us, and then you can decide, okay, I don't want to receive this alarm anymore for this source. And then it is kind of just muted. You will not see it again. And we also have now CloudWatch graphs and code pipeline approvals, which is a bigger change, because before that, Marbot was kind of push-based. So you send events to us and we display them for you. And now we can also kind of fetch data after something arrived at us. So we have access to your AWS account if you provide us the access. And then, Andreas, we released something last week, and this is not yet fully announced because we want to have some it's kind of a only for some customers active or for some new customers active. We have a monitoring assistant. So this is basically a way that Marbot sets up CloudWatch alarms, event bridge rules, and everything else that is needed for you automatically. So you connect Marbot with your AWS account, you tell us the regions that you want to use, and that's it. We do the rest. So we create CloudWatch alarms, we create event bridge rules, and we tell you what we did. So we tell you, okay, we added this amount of alarms, or we removed that amount of alarms, and everything is transparent. So we let you know what happens, but you don't have to do it on your own. And this is really cool because we see many customers kind of struggle with that. So and it is, like for the people who are interested, it is based on Terraform. So we use our own Terraform modules for that. And it is, a very new feature. And we hope that it makes it easier to get started with Marbot. And it simplifies the setup. So now really with a click of a couple of buttons, you can get all your resources monitored in AWS, which is really cool. So that's it, Andreas. That was, I think, all we released this
year. Yeah, okay. So I have forgotten one thing about the year in review when talking about cloud or not. So I have a question for all of you who are watching this or listening to this. I'd like to know, or we like to know, what do you like most about cloud or not? What do you like most about our AWS-related content? So first of all, just write in and tell us, do you prefer our blog posts or the podcast or the videos? Which of the formats do you like most? And then also, what kind of content is most relevant to you coming from us? So is it what we do recently, commenting AWS news? Or are you more interested in how-tos, so how to solve certain things on AWS? Do you like the interview format that we do with the Builder's Diary? Or are you into our reviews of AWS services? So just let us know, what do you think is the content that you enjoy the most on Cloud or Not that we maybe should invest more in the next year? So it would be very helpful to get some feedback. So if you have time to write just a few sentences of feedback, that would be highly appreciated. Thank you for that.
Okay, cool, Andreas. So I think before we dive into the AWS news, I will kind of present two messages from our partners. So the first is from our partner TechRacer, and they are hiring a cloud consultant with a focus on AWS migrations. So you should apply when you enjoy planning, managing, executing migrations from on-premises workloads to the cloud. You can join TechRacer in a couple of locations in Germany, Hanover, Duisburg, Frankfurt, Hamburg, Munich, and also in Vienna, in Lisbon, and Lucerne. So our second partner, Demicon, is growing their cloud division and is therefore hiring a senior lead cloud solutions architect for AWS. So what is Demicon? It's an advanced AWS consulting partner and a remote-first company located in Germany, but you can apply if you are based in the European Union. So you can bring your expertise in infrastructure as code, continuous deployment, and containers to a dedicated team and exciting projects. So if you're interested in those positions that I just presented, check out the show notes. You will see links there where you get further details and you can also apply. So that's, Andreas, what we have to hear from our partners. So let's quickly dive into the AWS news from last week. Luckily, there was not much going on, so we don't need a lot of time to discuss AWS news this time. So what is on your list, Andreas?
Yeah, so I looked into that, and so I remember you just messaged me right away when this announcement came out because you were interested in that with the background of Marbot. So AWS announced CloudWatch Metric Insights Alarms. So what is that? So Metric Insights is a way to query multiple CloudWatch metrics at once. So what you can do with that, a few examples. You could, for example, give me a sum of all Lambda function invocation errors within an AWS account and region. Or you could do a query like, give me the average CPU utilization of all EC2 instances in this account and region. Or one other example, give me the sum of the storage used by all S3 buckets. So those are a few examples of what you can do. So basically, what those metric insights allow you is to run queries on all metrics of a certain kind. So you do not have to list them manually, go through them like you have to do with metric mass. You can just query them all. There is also the option to filter, and there's also a group by and limit functionality in there. So that's how you can get insights into your queries, an overall picture of everything, basically. The thing with the metric insights, or the new feature, is you can now also create CloudWatch alarms based on those metric insights queries that you are running. So you can get alarm, for example. But the question is, what can you actually do with that? Because there are a few limitations here. So first of all, metrics insights are limited to the most recent 3 hours. So you can only have a look at the past 3 hours with a metric and also a metric query and also with an alarm. And important is that the group by functionality is not supported for alarms, which means you cannot say, alarm me if one of my instances, for example, has, I don't know, a CPU utilization of 100% for 3 hours. You can only get alarmed when all of your instances have a CPU utilization of that, or you can use the maximum or something. But yeah, you cannot really do something on the, for example, instance level or the resource level. So that's a little bit of a bummer, I would say. And so I think the metric insights alarm, those are two limitations, that it doesn't support the group by and it doesn't support more than the last 3 hours.
There's one thing, Andreas, that I want to add here maybe, because this is actually like some AWS services publish, so kind of aggregated metrics, right? So for example, Lambda publishes a metric that's just errors without any dimensions. Mm-hmm. So you know that one of your, or some function invocations failed, but you have no idea which function it actually was. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the same problem here, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know something is wrong, but you have no idea what. or where is the problem?
It could help. So depending on what you're trying to achieve with your monitoring, that might be enough, because then you just dive into, I don't know, your dashboard or something, and then you see what's going on. So for some, it might be enough. For others, it might be. So for us, so from what we do with Marboard and everything, it's not fine granular enough, I would say.
Do you want to talk about the pricing as well?
Yeah, so the pricing is interesting, because I also learned something about CloudWatch pricing that I didn't know. So first of all, the pricing is you pay 10 cents per metric that you analyze with Metric Insights Alarm. So I don't know, if you have 100 EC2 instances and you do, I don't know, a sum of the average of the CPU utilization, you pay 100 times 10 cents. So you pay $10 for that per month. And actually, the price for CloudWatch metrics is the same when you do them one by one. So if you create classic CloudWatch alarms for 100 instances, you also pay the same amount for that. And what I didn't know, and I think it was, I can't remember that I've ever seen it on the pricing page, but maybe I have just overseen it. But if you do metric math, Michael, you could before create a CloudWatch alarm that combined multiple CloudWatch metrics by using CloudWatch metrics. And when you do that, you also pay for all the metrics that are included in there. So I don't know if that changed or if that has always been the case and was not listed on the page, or I don't know, maybe I've overread it as well. That's possible as well. But I didn't know that. Yeah. So actually, it doesn't matter how you analyze the metrics with an alarm, you pay 10 cents per metric that you analyze. That's the takeaway. That's simple and I think fine.
And this was also, Andreas, what I understood, I think, this week, that you have to, because I was thinking, okay, because for example, for every Lambda function, we have an alert on the errors and throttles. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, okay, could we cut our CloudWatch costs in half if we do one alarm with a metric mask.
Yeah,
but then I figured out, okay, no, that will not change anything.
I might have even, so I remember I have talked about this either in a podcast or maybe I've written it in a blog post. So I thought about that as a way to reduce your CloudWatch spending as well. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe this was a small change to make that more clear. For the Metric Insights alarms, AWS announced CloudFormation and CDK support. However, I could not find it in the docs. I don't know. I could not find it in the announcements, in the release notes of CloudFormation. And Terraform does not support it yet as well. In summary, I would say Metric Insights alarm are very limited. So I see most of the use cases I could come up with didn't work because of the missing group by functionality and stuff like that. But I think it's still good to know that this thing exists, because I could say, yes, I could imagine that sometimes it's helpful. For example, the sum of the storage used by all the three buckets alarm, this could be interesting. I think there is a CloudWatch alarm combining, a metric combining all of that already, but sometimes I think that might be helpful.
Okay, Andreas. So do you have another news item? Because I have no item on my list.
Okay. Yeah, I have one other. That's a very small one. So actually, the AWS Marketplace introduces free trials for software as a service usage-based products. And actually, that's interesting because that's what we are doing with Marwood, right? So for AMI-based products like Bucket AV or Hyperend for Jenkins, there was always that functionality of a free trial. So basically, you launch the AMI, and after 14 days, you start paying for it automatically. This was not available for software as a service products yet. And now this is available. So in theory, Michael, we could implement that for Marwood. So basically what you can do now is you can start a subscription right away, and after 14 days the customer then starts paying for the usage. So there's pros and cons for using that. So we have implemented a free trial on our own for Marwood. So basically you can start using Marbot without anything, and after 14 days it starts asking you to subscribe via the AWS Marketplace. That's how we currently built that flow. With the new functionality, the pros are, I think, you get the free trial badge in the AWS Marketplace. So that could be interesting because people see they can try it for free right away. I think another pro is the reduced complexity in our backend. So we could basically remove all those functionalities that ask you to create a subscription and stuff like that. We could remove all of that and just let that be handled by the marketplace. I think another interesting aspect is that this free trial, to use the free trial, you need to create a subscription in the marketplace. So so we know that the potential customer is in theory willing to pay for that. So I think that is maybe interesting because you're filtering out potential customers that didn't understand that this will cost something in the future at all, and just get support tickets from them and never don't have an intention to pay for your product. I don't know. On the other side, I think on the cons list, of course, having to create the AWS Marketplace subscription is a barrier. So obviously you may scare some away from trying your product. So for example, some enterprise customers cannot use the AWS Marketplace, so they cannot even try Marbot. And others will just not understand or will be scared about the potential side effects and don't even try to use Marbot and therefore don't get excited about the product. So I think that's on the cons list. Yeah. So yeah, I'm not decided.
Yeah, I think there's no like strong benefit. I mean, if it would start from zero, then it might be an option. But I think changing it probably is not worth the effort. Yeah.
In theory, you could run Andreas. An A/B test or something. Yeah, to find out. But yeah.
Yeah. I think that's it, right? So we can close the last episode or the last show this year. So we will be back next year. Subscribe to our newsletter, the podcast, or the YouTube channel to make sure you don't miss the next show in 2023. And also, we want to thank our supporters. So this is really great, and you really make this show possible. And you can always consider supporting our work. So there are a couple of options, so check them out. The infos are in the show notes. And we would appreciate your help, definitely. So you can find everything we talked about, like links and stuff, in the show notes. And I think the last thing I want to say this year, Andreas, is happy holidays. And yeah, we will be back next year.
Yeah, happy holidays. See you. Bye.
Bye.